So here are some excerpts from Baudelaire's late text. This is a prospectus he drew up for a publisher in very early 1866 for a book that was to be called, which he never finished, by definition, almost unpublishable, Poor Belgium, or perhaps Belgium Disrobed, kind of a rhyme with his other late text that I'm working on, My Heart Laid Bare. So I'll just move right into this. This is a text of savage indignation, of Swiftian satire, and records his self-imposed exile in Belgium, mostly in Brussels, fleeing from creditors in Paris. But he's on a larger suicidal mission to see whether Belgium can kill him just like the United States of America killed his literary hero, Edgar Allan Poe. And so Belgium is not only this kind of simian version of France, but it's actually, as Europe's most recent and first artificially created state, the Iraq of Europe, invented by diplomats in 1830, when Germany's not yet a state, Italy's not yet a state, and yet you have this diplomatic harlequin, as Baudelaire calls it, that is the most rapidly modernizing country in Europe in the mid of the 19th century. So it's a general screed against modernity. Possible titles: The True Belgium, Belgium in the Raw, Belgium Disrobed, A Joke of a Capital, Capital of Apes. Preliminaries. France seems quite barbaric, seen up close, but go to Belgium and you will become less critical of your own country. Just as Joubert gave thanks to God for having made him a man and not a woman, so you too will thank him for having created you not Belgian but French. A book on Belgium, a praiseworthy endeavor, to be amusing while speaking of boredom, instructive while speaking of nothing. A sketch of Belgium offers this further advantage. It allows one, by the same token, to caricature the idiocies of France. Europe has entered into a conspiracy to flatter Belgium. Craving compliments, Belgium inevitably takes them seriously. How, some 20 years ago, we used to chant the praises of the United States in all its liberty, glory, and good fortune. Belgium inspires similar idiocies. Why the French who have resided in Belgium won't tell the truth about this country? Because given how French they are, they don't want to admit they were had. Notes on the physiognomy of the street. Initial impressions. It's said that every city, every country has its smell. Paris, they say, smells or used to smell of acrid cabbage. Cape Town smells of sheep. There are tropical isles that smell of roses, musk, or coconut oil. Russia smells of leather. Lyon smells of coal. The Orient generally smells of musk and corpses. Brussels smells of black soap. The hotel rooms smell of black smoke soap. The beds smell of black soap. The napkins smell of black soap. The sidewalks smell of black soap. The continual scrubbing of sidewalks and stoops, even in the pouring rain, a national mania. The general blandness of life, cigars, vegetables, flowers, fruits, cuisine, eyes, hair, everything bland, everything sad, flavorless, asleep. The human face itself, blurred, clouded, asleep. A Frenchman goes in fear of this soporific contagion. Only the dogs are alive. They are the niggers of Belgium. Brussels much louder than Paris. Reasons for this: the cobblestones uneven, the houses rickety and poorly insulated, the streets narrow, the local loudmouth accent atrocious, the clumsiness widespread, the whistling describe a national trait, the dogs barking all the time. Few sidewalks or sidewalks suddenly ending, the result of individual liberties pushed to the extreme, lousy paving, no life in the streets, many balconies, nobody on the balconies, the spy mirrors, these are called espions, these are these little mirrors attached to houses so that from the inside you can look into the mirror and peer down onto the street or see who's at the door. The spy mirrors, signs of boredom, curiosity, inhospitality, gloominess of a city without a river. Nothing spread out on display in the shops. Flânerie, so dear to city dwellers endowed with imaginations, impossible in Brussels. Nothing to see and strolling out of the question. Innumerable pince-nez, the reason for this, the remark of a local optician. Later in his notes, he notes that the majority of pince-nez sold are made out of clear glass, just to look distinguished when one wears them. An amazing quantity of hunchbacks. The Belgian, or rather the Brussels face, vague, shapeless, pasty, or splotchy, the bizarre build of the jaws, menacing stupidity. The ludicrous way the Belgians lurch along, they proceed forward by looking over their shoulders, endlessly bumping into things. Here's some notes on daily life. The topic of cuisine, no roast meats, everything braised, everything prepared with rancid butter to save money or as a matter of taste, execrable vegetables either because of their poor quality or on account of the butter, no spicy stews, Belgian cooks believe that highly seasoned fare means highly salted fare, the elimination of the dessert course is also quite symptomatic, no fruits, those from Tournai, are they even decent, are exported to England, one therefore has to import them from France or Algeria, and to top it off, the bread is execrable, damp, soggy, charred. Alongside the common myth of Belgian liberty and of Belgian cleanliness, let's place the myth of how cheap it is to live in Belgium. Everything is four times more expensive than in Paris, where the only expensive thing is rent. Here, everything is expensive, except rent. You can, if you have the stomach for it, live à la Belge, description of the Belgian diet and hygiene. The topic of wine. Wine, an object of curiosity, a collector's item, magnificent wine cellars, richly furnished, all identical. Expensive, heady wines. The Belgians display their wines. They drink wine not because they have any taste for it, but out of vanity, to validate their conformity, their resemblance to the French. Belgium, a paradise for traveling wine salesmen. What the common folk drink? Faro and gin. No women, no love. Why? No chivalry among the men, no sense of modesty among the women. Modesty, something forbidden, no need felt for it. Broad portrait of the Flemish woman, or at least of the Brabant woman, setting the Walloon woman aside for the moment. Typical physiognomy comparable to that of the sheep or ram. Smiles impossible because of the recalcitrance of the muscles and the set of the teeth and jaws. The complexion generally pasty, sometimes splotchy, the hair yellow, the legs, breasts, huge, tubs of lard, the feet, horrors, monstrous bosoms, typically developing quite precociously, swelling like swamps owing to the humidity of the climate and the gluttony of the women, the stench of the women, anecdotes. obscenity of Belgian obscenity of Belgian women, anecdotes about latrines and street corners. As concerns love, refer to the indecency of the old Flemish painters, 60-year-olds having sex. This people has not changed, and the Flemish painters remain true to life. Belgian prostitution, high and low end, counterfeit French tarts, French prostitution in Brussels, excerpts from the rules and regulations governing prostitution. Customs continued. The Belgian brain, Belgian conversation. It is as difficult to define the Belgian character as it is to classify the Belgian on the scale of living creatures. He is an ape, but he's also a mollusk. Extraordinarily scatterbrained, amazingly thick-headed, it is easy to oppress him, as is borne out by history. It is almost impossible to eradicate him. As we proceed to judge the Belgian, let us not stray from certain key ideas. Aping, counterfeiting, conformity, rancorous impotence. These various rubrics will enable us to classify our material. Here's a little section on a topic much in the news during the days, 1864, 1866, annexation. The Belgian terror that the French are going to annex them. Annexation is a prime topic of Belgian conversation. It was the first word I heard when I arrived here 2 years ago. They have talked of it so much that they have convinced the parrots of the French journalism to repeat the word after them. A good portion of Belgium is pro-annexation, but this is not reason enough. First of all, France would certainly have to agree to do so. Belgium is a sniveling little ragamuffin who throws himself around the neck of a fine gentleman and says to him, "Adopt me, be my father." But the gentleman first has to be willing to do so. I am against annexation. There are already enough morons in France, not to mention all of those we have annexed in the past, the people of Bordeaux, of Alsace, and others. But I would not object to an invasion, to a razzia. Now, this razzia is an interesting word. It's of Algerian Arabic origin, usually meant as in the past, to describe the Moorish raids on Spanish populations to take hostages, to plunder, and so on and so forth. But it's then a term that's used in the French conquest of Algeria, these raids that will subjugate small villages and so on and so forth. Baudelaire's stepfather, the general Opique, was part of the French expedition to Algeria in 1831-32. So one never knows, I mean, whether to read this straight or not. But I would not object to an invasion, to a razzia, a raid in the ancient fashion, in the fashion of Attila. Everything beautiful could be carted off to the Louvre. All this belongs to us far more legitimately than it does to the Belgians, given that they no longer have a clue about it. And the fairer Belgian sex would make the acquaintance of the Turcos, the French sharpshooters from Algeria, who are not very hard to please. Belgium is the shitty end of the stick. This is above all what makes it so inviolable. Hands off Belgium. On the tyranny of the weak, women, and animals. This is what accounts for the tyranny of Belgium over European opinion. And just a little final envoi. This was a sketch for an epilogue that he noted down. And unusually, it's dated. Today, Monday, the 28th of August, 1865, over the course of a hot and humid evening, I followed the meanderings of a street fair, a kermesse. And in the streets named Devil's Corner, Monk's Rampart, Our Lady of Sleep, Six Tokens, as well as in several others, I discovered to my great delight and surprise frequent symptoms of cholera. suspended in the air. Have I sufficiently invoked cholera, this monster I adore? Have I studied the advanced signs of his arrival attentively enough? How long shall I have to wait for him, this horrific favorite of mine, this impartial Attila, this divine plague who strikes down his victims at whim? Haven't I sufficiently pleaded with my Lord God to speed his passage over the stinking banks of the Seine? That's Brussels River, S-E-N-N, which sets up Brussels as a counterfeit Paris with its Seine. And how much pleasure would I finally derive as I contemplated the grimacing agony of this hideous people caught in the coils of its fake Styx, its Briareus River, whose waters carry off more excrements than the sky above provides sustenance to the flies. I shall take great delight, for sure, in the terrors and tortures inflicted on this race whose traits are yellow hair, nankeen trousers, and a lilac complexion. A detail worth mentioning, after all the numerous shields dedicated to national unity, to friendship, to fidelity, to the Constitution, to the Virgin Mary, I discover a shield dedicated to the police.